but you can see there's still quite a few here. If you sponsored one of those, please get it after our worship service today, as they won't keep real long in the sanctuary. I invite you to take that with you. Our scripture for today, before we come to our time of offering and prayer, is from Paul's letter to Titus, chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. They are encouragement from Paul to Titus, a committed follower of the Christ child who has grown and now been raised to become his Lord and his Savior. And as we stand at the cusp of a new calendar year, these words are good for us to hear. If you're looking for a New Year's resolution to practice every day in the way of Jesus, these are great words and a great teaching from Paul. I invite you to open your ears and your hearts to the good news of Jesus. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show every courtesy to everyone. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice, envy, despicable, hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of any works of righteousness that we had done, but according to His mercy, through the water of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. This Spirit He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The saying is sure. I desire that you insist on these things, so that those who have come to believe in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable to everyone. Avoid stupid controversies, genealogies, dissensions, and quarrels about the law, for they are unprofitable and worthless. After a first and second admonition, have nothing more to do with anyone who causes divisions, since you know that such a person is perverted and sinful, being self-condemned. Great words of wisdom. And Paul tells us that Jesus insists on these marks of gospel for our lives. I don't know if it's true for you, but suspect it might be, but there are many working calls for the Spirit to my life. Avoid stupid controversies, genealogies, dissensions, quarrels. Beware of anyone that causes divisions. Such a person is perverted and sinful, condemning himself or herself. Quite a work list, but with the Holy Spirit and the mercy and grace of our Savior, may it be alive in our hearts and minds, the good news of Jesus Christ. As we come to a time of offering this morning and the altar is open, there are no prayer blankets this morning, the kneelers are there. You can bring the blue prayer cards up if you have joys, concerns, intercessions to bring forward. I just would invite you to lift up all those that are going to be mightily, are affected and will be mightily affected by this cold weather on the East Coast, especially those that are homeless. And I oftentimes, in the midst of praying for those that are homeless, think about how many of them have mental health challenges. They're not able to function or care for themselves with their medicine if they do have access to it. And we just pray for those that are providing shelter, for the churches that are manning those shelters, and for the rescue houses. I invite you to hold those situations in prayer as we offer God's tithes and our offering. And once the offering is moved through your area, please know you're welcome to the kneeler this morning.
Night.
Heavenly Father, for your goodness and your mercy poured out in the babe of Bethlehem, we give you thanks. For your wisdom and teaching poured into Jesus of Nazareth, we give you thanks. For your mercy and your all-inclusive reach for us through Jesus who ate with sinners, who allowed women to be recognized and honored as made in your image, we give you thanks. For Jesus who offered healing, physical, mind, and soul, we give you thanks. For Jesus who faced the ridicule and the rejection of those he came to save, we give you thanks. For Jesus who took on our sins on the cross of Calvary, every lash, every insult, every word of mocking, every point of darkness that the human condition could throw at him, and in the midst of it, asked that you would forgive them. We give you thanks. For Jesus, who made a way through the grave and through the bondage of sin, and rose victorious, we give you thanks. For Jesus, who in his resurrected form carried the scars and the woundedness of the human condition, that we might reach into his wounds like Thomas did and know that we are never alone, we give you thanks. For Jesus, who promised he would not leave us orphaned or alone, we give you thanks. And for your Holy Spirit that has birthed your church and accompanies us now, we give you thanks. Lord God, may the gift of the Christ reach into the farthest corners of this earth. And may that light that you've birthed in us, might be attended to by our minds and our souls and our hearts. Help us, Lord, to attend to that precious gift you've given us, that we might multiply the goodness and the mercy, the invitation, the forgiveness, the faithfulness that you've shown us. On this day, Lord, we pray especially for those who are alone and isolated. Grant them your presence. We pray for those who are homeless and on the streets, and especially those who deal with mental health challenges. We pray that you would intersect their journey with people who are compassionate and understanding. We thank you for those shelters and the gifts that make them possible to offer respite from the frigid day and night. Lord, we pray that the teachings of Paul to Titus would find their way by your Spirit's work into our daily living. Hear our prayers, all for the goodness and glory of Jesus, we pray. Amen. It's been become our custom in the last few years that on this Sunday, a combined service, as we begin a new year, to invite those who have a stirring of the Spirit in your soul or your life to practice proclamation and to give Jesus a witness in these moments today. So as I read a portion of Mary's song, I want to ask each of you to consider how God has met you, maybe in and through the ministries of Aldersgate this past year, maybe how God has worked in your life, brought light, seen you through difficulty, maybe how God has used you. I want to invite you to consider coming forward and practicing the proclamation that we're to be about throughout the week and all of our days. And to first hear the proclamation of Mary from Luke chapter 1, verse 46. When Mary visits Elizabeth, she sings, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. He has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations shall call me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is God's name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He brings down the powerful from their thrones. He lifts up the lowly. He fills the hungry with good things. The rich are sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promises he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and his descendants forever." Mary remained with Elizabeth for 3 months and then returned home. Mary continued to sing the praise of God who had magnified her soul. Can Jesus get a witness here? Anyone led to come forward and share how God has brought light and love or given witness to your soul? This is your time to practice the proclamation. Can Jesus get a witness?
Good morning, church. My name's Marcia Fisher, and I'm one of those people that knew when I was a little girl that God was in my life. I knew when I was a little girl that when I would give thought to things, that I knew I had somebody that was helping me make decisions. So I invite all you children in the room to know that you have a friend. And your friend is Jesus Christ. He wired you to be part of his family, and you are to do his work. Having said that, one of the more recent things that I've been able to do as in my faith journey, and many of you know this, is Mission Central in 2006 and 2007 became very dominant in my life. I had just lost my husband, who went through dementia for 10 years, and he lived at home, and my two children and I took care of him for 9 of the 10 years. So when that was finished and done for me, and my prayer was, "Thank you, Lord, for your mercies," somebody came to me, Pastor Jeff Fisher, and said, "Marcia, Mission Central needs you." And so that became very dominant in my life. I was president of that group for 8 years. I helped them through many difficult times because God gave me the ability to do that. It wasn't anything I did. It's what he used me to do. And I invite you to be aware of that in your life, because I know there's times, I'm not the only one, where God prompts me to do something, and you get that same prompting. So when my time was over, I rewrote the bylaws for Mission Central that there would only be a person that could stay in office for 8 years. So when my 8 years were done, according to the bylaws, I had to go find something else to do. So just recently, New Digs came to me. That's a permanent mission that lives at Mission Central. And they asked me to come and help them, and I said, oh God, I don't want to do that. I've had enough. And my testimony to that is that the lady that was the organizer of New Digs came to me and she said, my daughter is very ill in the hospital and I'm begging you to do this. I can't do all the parts that need to be done for New Digs. I'm asking you for the second time. And I realized, God, you didn't have to make her daughter sick and put her in the hospital. There could have had another way of getting to me. So anyway, I invite you to be aware of what your promptings are and what God wants you to do, and then do them with a joyful heart. Thank you.
Again, good morning, church. My name is Debbie Smith, and I am part of the half of Richard Smith, who is sitting in the pew, and we had a God intervention just the other day. My husband and I are very blessed to have been able to just retire recently. My husband has been a wonderful provider for us, and we have had a financial advisor company that's Christian-based called Lifeway. And we received a letter from them saying that so many people within their clients of their company are going to receive $50. And the clients are supposed to use that $50 and pass it on to anybody, anyone that would deem fit for the money at Christmas time. So we tried to think who that $50 was going to go to. Were we going to look for somebody on the street? Were we going to go to an organization? And we received the money as we were getting ready to leave to go shopping, and it was in our mailbox. So we opened it, and there in an envelope was the $50. So we drove right away to New Hope. And unfortunately, there wasn't anybody there. They work by appointments, and nobody was there in the building. And the women that we talked to thought maybe it would be better not to come in to New Hope, and somebody would see the money being passed, to try and maybe give it to somebody in the parking lot. Well, unfortunately, at that time of day, there was nobody there. So we got back, and they said that we could leave it, they'd give us a receipt and they'd pass it on, but we wanted to give it to somebody, to have a little bit more personal touch with it. So we drove to Mission Central. Well, unfortunately, it was 5 of 4, they were getting ready to close, there was nobody there, and we just didn't feel it was right again to leave the money. So my husband said, let's go to Walmart to their layaway department and see if we could pay off somebody's bill. I thought that was a great idea. So as we're driving, we had already gone past Walmart. Now, you know what Carlisle Pike is at Christmas time. Well, we were able to make a U-turn on the Carlisle Pike and get into the right lane so that we could pull into Walmart. God intervention? Don't know. We pull into Walmart, and there by the garden center, the very first space is available. God intervention. So we walk in with this envelope, and we go through the garden section. We head through the toys. We make a right, and we're going down to layaway. And here was a young woman with another woman who was pushing a cart, who you knew she had some disabilities. She was talking very loud, and she had a budget. She had only so much money to spend. I only have $5 left for so-and-so. I can't spend. I need. Rick looked at me. I looked at him. And we felt God had put her right in front of us. So Rick goes up, taps her on the shoulder, and of course she turned around. She was a little startled. And he said, we have something for you. My wife would like to give you something. So I have this envelope. And this dear woman is, you know, startled why two strangers come up and say something to her. And I said, we have $50 to give you for you to use however you want. And she goes, me? Me? And it must have been her caregiver that was with her, because she had a piece of paper and a pencil, and she was writing things down. And we said, yes, we have $50 for you to use however you want it this Christmas season. And she goes, where did it come from? I said, angels. Angels have passed this on to you. And she said, angels? I said, yes. And she really related to the angels. I said, may I give you a hug? She said, yes. I have something for you in the car, too. I said, no, we don't need anything. We're just passing this blessing on to you. So I asked the caregiver if I could give her a hug, and she said yes. And she says, is this for real? I said, yes, it is real. There's no candid camera behind us. There's nobody filming this. I said, God bless you, and have a Merry Christmas. And I can tell you, as Rick and I turned around and tears were streaming down our face, we were more blessed than the blessing that we had passed on to her. God intervention.
Can Jesus get a witness?
Good morning, church. My name is Pam, and I just want to say that there has been a huge answer to prayer this Christmas season that I have been so touched by. Our church family, the Angel Tree Mission that we do every year, we usually have around 200 tags, and this year we had 273 tags that went on the tree, and I just started to pray right away that all those tags would disappear, and they did. God answered prayer. Then as soon as those tags were gone, then I started praying a lot, that all those gifts would come back. It's a lot of gifts. It was a lot of prayer. And all the gifts came back, all 273. It was a huge answer to prayer. And I am just so thankful to this church family. And God has blessed us so that we could give some joy to other families that are in such need in the Harrisburg area. And I also wanted to thank my helpers this year, Chris Keffer. I want to thank Katie and Ryan Eisenhower that helped so much. I want to help Patrice that was up here. She helped sort gifts. And special thanks to my Santa, who is Floyd Sullenberger, who every year helps me deliver to the local facilities. And there was so much joy that you gave this year. So God bless you, and Happy New Year.
And I think we have some photos. Steve, if you could put those up while we're continuing. People could take a look at those.
I just wanted to share a moment with all of you. You've graced me in the past several years and allow me to be part of a thing called Grief Share. And we open that up to the community here and the community beyond. And I'm always so blessed by the people that God brings around that table as together we lean into God to help us through this journey of bereavement. The other year, we had a very nice group, as we always do. All those people are so special to me. We had a gentleman come who was very soft-spoken. I knew he wasn't from our country, but he did speak English very well. He was a very intelligent, a warm, caring man who had his own journey of grief that he was going through in a country that was not native to him, but a country that he was sent to because of his employment. At the end of those 13 weeks, as we gathered together, and Pastor David happened to be with us that time, and we pray over one another, and at that time he revealed that he was not Christian, but he was a Muslim man. And those 13 weeks, we discussed God, we discussed prayer, and we discussed how people are all God's people. He's left this country, he's returned home, and Thanksgiving he sent a welcoming to the entire Grief Share group, reminding us of the Thanksgiving he had here, and he really enjoyed Thanksgiving turkey. The meal was quite good, and he was remembering fond memories of that time. But the one that amazed me the most is this Christmas. He sent each and every one of us. He knew it was our holy Christmas. And he sent an email to each of us with warm thoughts and just a wonderful tone about it, how he cared for each and every one of us, and he would never forget the time here. And he shared with each of us that if we would come to his country in the Middle East to remember that indeed we have a friend there. So I just praise God and Jesus for this opportunity to get to know all of God's people in ways that we never would have if it weren't for some of the ministries that you allow and support here at Aldersgate. And as the world, maybe sometimes you wonder what's going on, there's a God in heaven who looks over us and cares for each and every one of us. And I'm reminded by that email that Aldersgate Church, you make a difference. So I thank you very much, and thank you for allowing the ministry of Christ to be here. Thank you.
Good morning. Bill Brandemore. Now, if you can't see me, I'll stand on my toes. First, I want to say, all the years I've been a member of churches, this is the finest congregation I've ever been a member of. There are more caring, sharing, and daring people in this congregation than I've ever met in my life. And we're led by the servant shepherd who's among us, the finest preaching pastor I've ever been exposed to. Many of you have probably heard by now that I did the walk to Emmaus. Brother Tom Ziegler got me to do that back in 2009. It was very much of a mountaintop experience for me. I cried my eyes out for 3 days. I'm not afraid to tell you that. Not everybody will have that kind of an experience, but as a result of that, I began to be part of the Emmaus community, and I was asked periodically to be on teams. And as things began to flow, earlier this year in January, I prayed. I said, I want to find at least 6 men in the congregation under the age of 50 who would consider taking this journey. And I prayed about it, and I came up with 6 names. And I remember talking with Pastor Troy, and he said, I'd like to see the names. I'm sure he just wanted to make certain that I wasn't out of bounds with my numbers there. But I did go and talk to each of the 6 men and gave them a brochure, told them my experience, and we prayed on it. And as you know now, 4 of the 6 men went on that walk in the spring and gave a testimony here. I think 3 of them gave a testimony in one way, shape, or form. And a little later on, 2 of the wives took their walk in the fall. And it's just been an amazing metamorphosis. God is working, the Holy Spirit is working continuously in this congregation to be something better than we ever thought we could be. And for me, as a result of all of this, I was asked to be the lay director for the boys' chrysalis flight in February. I have a counterpart, Lois Stauffer, who is the girls' lay director. And when I first talked to Lois, I said, Lois, I'm happy to chat with you because my mother was a Lois. And you don't have too many women these days whose name is Lois. My dad had a Lois who was an older sister, and when she gave birth to her daughter, her name was Lois Ann, and he married a Lois. So we had a lot of Loises in the family. You don't see too much of that anymore, but I'm humbled and honored. And God has worked within me an opportunity to be more humble, because some of you may know that I did politics for a living, and that's not exactly a humbling profession. It's probably the closest thing we have to a blood sport in the country. And I was part of that blood sport, and I had a few scrapes of my own during those days. But through this congregation, through the working of the Holy Spirit within me, I feel that I'm a better man today, and I still have a long way to go. God bless you all.
Good morning, everyone. I want to talk about how I see the body of Christ. and what it means to be a part of a working body of Christ. Back, I think it was in right before Advent, my friend Cheryl called me one day and asked me if I wanted to go to Dana Schick's open house the next day to see her, the shop that she has and the fibers that she works with over in New Cumberland. So I was happy to go, and Cheryl and I went over, and Dana's shop was all set up with, it looked so nice with all of the little gifts that she had for people to come in and purchase. And there were some things that I saw that were different from the year before and asked Lynn about them, and she said that Barb Thrush, who is a member of our church too, had begun to work with Dana's fibers to create, like, I think there was a laptop case and some different things. But Barb has been a wonderful, crafty quilter, just loves to create things for many, many years. And her girls now are not close by here, so she doesn't have family in this area. And she has poured into Dana's shop and into Dana and has created this connection between the two of them. I talked to Lynn about that and just how that was a win-win for both of them, for Dana to have somebody offer a gift like that to come in and work with her, and for Barb to have Dana and Lynn and Glenn to pour her life into. And then Lynn shared with me how there have been so many other people who have poured into their lives. Maureen Shankweiler takes Dana horseback riding. Angie Shapiro, member of our church, puts lots and lots of time into working in Dana's shop and helping her. Cheryl, I know, takes Dana here and there. And I'm sure there are others too. But I just love what that means, Lynn, for people to pour into you. But I just want to say that the reason that that happens is because Jesus is so evident in your life and in Glenn's life and Lula Mae, and you pour Jesus out over the people, and that's why they pour into you and pour into Dana, and that's what it means to be part of a working body of Christ. And I'm humbled and so happy to be in this church with you.
Two thoughts I have as we wrap this up. One is, I think it's the Spirit. Martin Luther, you say, I don't know if it's the Holy Spirit or if it's my indigestion. But I think it's the Spirit saying to me, and I'm going to speak specifically to the men here. I'm glad Bill came up, but I've had the privilege to walk with many of the men in this congregation in the last year, and we see how female-dominated our witnesses are this morning. That's just a reminder that we men, we need to be very careful when we say, oh, the church is female-dominated. Well, that's because a lot of men, we don't speak up when we need to, when we speak for Jesus. I know that God has given men here a witness for Christ, and I'm calling for one of you to come up and join and offer a witness. How has the Holy Spirit touched you or impacted you in this final year or in this last year? Maybe your final year, Mike. I don't know. Who knows?
Feeling a little but convicted Mike, right
yeah,
now.
Yeah. Why don't you share briefly, and then I have one other thing to offer, and we will go and practice witness in the world. Mike?
Morning, everybody. Happy New Year. So just a little thank you and an update, I guess, kind of Daystar related, because I get a lot of questions about, you know, we don't see the Daystar guys anymore. And the reason for that, and for those that don't know, Daystar is a ministry that is supported by this church. It's a recovery center in Inner Harrisburg, and treats folks with substance use disorder, that being everything from addiction, alcohol-wise, heroin-wise, anything really substance use related. And the reason we don't see guys from Daystar so much, it's kind of good news, bad news, is that the state has mandated that you can't, that they can't demand, if you will, that folks from Daystar go to a specific place of worship. So while for many years we would go in and pick up guys on Sundays and they would come and worship with us and everybody was so nice to the guys, they always appreciated that and they continue to appreciate Aldersgate, but they don't have to come to this service or this church per se, but they do go to places of worship in the inner city. They're very, very appreciative of the Thanksgiving. Glenn and the youth and other folks bring in the gifts. The board of directors, which has expanded greatly and is far more professional now than and productive, and I don't mean that in any kind of derogatory way, because I was remain part of the board and things like that, but they've just got a great group of people in there. So, again, a good news, bad news is that Daystar continues to prosper, if you will, and that part of the bad news of that is that there is a huge waiting list of people to come in and try and benefit from both the spirituality and the professionalism of the recovery. The waiting list to get in there has like quadrupled over the past couple of years with the issues of heroin and so on. A personal, I'm fortunate to be involved there and blessed to be involved there, and I see, works of God there all the time. And then earlier this year, I've been in sales in the healthcare industry for a long time, and went to a professional thing that I try to get out of going to a number of times with my previous company. And while I was there, essentially led to a job that aligns personally and professionally, and I'm still doing what I've always done, but now it's in an area with a brand new company that, guess what, does substance use disorder in the professional area that I've been involved in my whole life. So wanted to offer that as encouragement to those who are in positions where they're miserable in, or work for people who are miserable or unethical or backstabbers or all those kinds of things, because I did that for 7 years, and now I'm blessed to be with a great company. And I didn't come up to talk about the Patriots win last, a couple weeks ago against the Steelers or anything, but I figured I might as well mention that too.
Hi, George Bear. I'm a Raiders fan. We're terrible, so what can I say? Just wanted to say thanks to everybody for the prayers through my recent struggles. I was going to write a letter to each one of you, but I figured I can get up here and increase the male quota. So, the prayers and everything, the meals, everything that you guys did is amazing. I also just want to point out that I learned so much from watching others go through these challenges. I'm looking at my friend Rob right there, who I watched go through fighting cancer and doing it with grace, doing it with God's love. That kind of sharing is worth more than anybody could ever say, and it's not just those things. So I'm hoping that I'm going through this with grace, but I just wanted to say, everybody, don't hide what you're going through. Share it with people, because they're going to learn from that, especially when they watch you go through it with God's love. So thanks, everybody.
Good morning. I have a testimony. This past year, actually a year and a half, I had lost my one part-time job, and I always said that I would work there until I croaked. But What happened was the attorney and her husband got a divorce and she left the area, so I was out of work and I was panicking because the extra money was helpful to my budget. So my dear son and his wife stepped up to the plate and offered to make my mortgage payments for me. And of course, the caveat was that in my will, they would get that money back. It wasn't just going to be a gift. So I felt good about that. And then I was thinking, it's not quite enough money what I was making compared to what my mortgage payment was. So I was struggling, but I also knew the longer I wasn't working, the less I wanted to find a job. And lo and behold, I met a friend through a friend, and this friend called me, the friend through a friend called me, and she said, God has spoken to me. And she said, I have a lot of benefactors that I donate money to. And she said, God has put you, he just immediately put you on my heart and told me that you should be a beneficiary of this. And of course, my first reaction was, I'm not worthy, I'm not a charity case, but I also just couldn't imagine that this was happening. So she said, well, I want you to pray about it, and I want you to listen to what God has to say to you. So of course, I was praying, and I was discerning, and I spoke to the friend who had introduced me to Deanna, and I talked to my daughter, and my daughter's first reaction was, Mom, you are worthy. So, long story short, my sister's here in a nursing home, and I try to visit her 2, 3, 4 times a week. So, I was out to lunch with my sister, and I was just sitting, and all of a sudden, I almost, you know, people say they hear from God, or God spoke to me, and I've always just kind of, I know it happens, but it never happened to me. And all of a sudden, he put on my heart, if you will spend more time visiting and doing ministry for those who are less fortunate than you. And I mean, to me, that was an epiphany. And I just decided that I would accept what this woman had offered me and that I would definitely spend more time with my sis, but also with other people who are in nursing homes. And that has been such a blessing to me. I just can't imagine my life now without that ministry in my heart. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Rob Duffield. I felt compelled to come up here as much by the Spirit as by my own OCD. But, it was even worse when there was one down and one up. I was like... I have the privilege of leading a men's group on Saturday morning, and I get up every Saturday at around 5:30 in the morning and prepare my heart for that time with those guys. And what Troy said is so important, and it really touched me. And like I said, aside from these, I probably would have still felt compelled to come up here, but that was the impetus. I think as guys, it's really easy to feel a lack of connection today, right? And we're so connected by social media and by Facebook, and we sometimes forget that the real connection is just sitting down and sharing with one another. And I have the privilege of hanging out with a bunch of guys, and we... I don't think I laugh as much during the week as I do in that 1 hour on Saturday morning about more than just the Patriots and their fans, which anybody but the Patriots at this point. I just wanted to thank the guys that are part of that group and encourage you, if you're not part of a group, there are so many places in this church to plug in and get connected and just be part of a faith community. But more than that, to talk about our families, to talk about our work, to talk about our connections, and talk about, for us, what it is to be a man of God. what it is to be a father, what it is to be a husband, and what it is to be truly a child of God and living that out. So I thank each of the guys that show up at 7 o'clock for coffee on Saturday morning and 7:30 for Bible study, and for the contributions and the way that they've shared Jesus with me. Thanks, guys.
Hi, my name's Jason Gardner, and I like to mess with people with OCD. Is that perfect? Perfectly level? Okay. I just want to give a witness about how God is so, so very good. Kristen and I started a long process back in 2016. And the process was to build our dream home. And that home included exposed timber, oak timber trusses. And that was part of our what we wanted in our house. And talking to my dad about this, and my uncle, and a few other people, my dad and his brother, Steve, my uncle, gave us the opportunity to harvest those trees off of their property. So we had that ability and goodwill from family members to allow us to do that. And they even helped us, and there was no charge. It was just what they wanted to give us as a part of our home. Well, lo and behold, both my dad and my uncle passed away through this process. Neither of them got to see the final product. But when we sit in our living room and we get to look up and see that timber, we're constantly reminded of the good people that we have had in our lives and the continued good people that we have in our lives, because a lot of people gave sacrificially through this process of their time. People like Jake Freeman, Jenny Freeman, Joe Prowl, Ryan Sakers gave one night a week to come and help me complete our dream home, and it was just such a blessing. So we thank you for that, and again, God is good. He puts the right people in your life at just the right time to help you do so many wonderful things. God also has a wonderful sense of humor, because our dream home has three bedrooms for Kristen and I, and one for each one of the boys. And we were moving from a four-bedroom house to our three-bedroom house. And right before our house was completed, we found out that we're pregnant with our third child. So God is so, so very good and so very faithful to help us through so many good and tumultuous things. So thank you.
Good morning, church. My name is Jake Freeman, and the first thing that I want to tell you is that I'm here very specifically because I need to give a testimony in the way that God has so richly not only blessed me but healed me this year. This is truly a testimony to the moving and the healing of Jesus Christ our Lord in my life just this year. I talked last year, I gave a testimony of my two daughters, but this year was a very, very difficult year for me and my family, and I don't deserve to be standing in front of you today testifying to how good God has been and how wholly and fully Jesus has healed me this year. But I'm going to do it because I will give a testimony to Jesus, and I will give Jesus a testimony to his healing and his greatness, so that you all may know, as you all do, that he truly is Lord. This year, I have been healed physically and spiritually and emotionally and financially in ways that are too detailed to share with you here now. But make no mistake, the year has been very difficult. It has been filled with emotional ups and downs, life-changing events, to include retiring from the service, being unemployed, then being re-employed, and celebrating one of the greatest things in my life, which is the marriage of my wife, Jenny, and I for 20 years. When we talk about peaks and valleys, this year has been about as low as I've been and about as high as I've been. Really remarkably, in just the period of 1 year. I was so richly blessed earlier this year to have completed 24 years of service in the military. That is a privilege and an honor that certainly I did not deserve. But even more privilege and an honor that so many of you here actually attended with me either in that particular ceremony or at a celebration afterwards. That truly is an honor. I went through a very difficult time of trying to find a job and trying to find meaning in my life after that, which was very, very, very difficult. And many of you know, because you've heard my detailed testimony, that not only did God provide for me and my family during that time of unemployment in so many different ways, but that when he did choose to provide for me, he chose to provide for me with the exact job that I needed and in the exact place that I needed, in the exact company that I needed. And I want to testify to you that my prayers were very specific in this regard. They were very specific. Many of you know that Jenny and I are both born and raised in Texas, and that's where all of our family is. But we were not ready to leave here. And that was a really incredible thing if you told me that 4 years ago, that we would not have been ready to leave here. But we weren't, and I specifically prayed. I specifically prayed for a job that I could stay here, remain here, with my family intact. And in our house, and in our community, and in this church. And let me tell you something, he provided for me. And he didn't do that because I deserved it. He did that for his glory, and that others may see the good works that he does. Amen. He did provide that job for me. He provided the one that I asked for. He does hear, and he does answer. He provided in the right location. I didn't want to leave here, but it wasn't tied to Pennsylvania. I was tied to my community, and he allowed me to stay. He allowed me to stay in the house that I wanted to be in, which I specifically prayed for. He provided for every single need, every need. And some of you know that it just was not because I deserved it. It was not because I deserved it. And then finally, my life has been a series of ups and downs, but God has so richly blessed me at home. And if I could only tell you the miraculous ways that he has worked, if I could only tell you those things, if you could only see the physical and spiritual emotional healing that has happened in my house, you just would be in awe. Well, let me tell you something. That healing and that love and that grace that God has worked in my life this year such that my wife and I will celebrate our 20th wedding anniversary. And that is in no way due to what a remarkable husband that I am. And I say that in all sincerity. That is in no way due to that. That is in every way because of God's healing and the moving that he has done in my life and in my wife's life. Truly healing. And I want to testify to you all that, one, so that you know how God has moved in my life and how grateful that I am that he has given me all of these things, but because I want to give it back to him. Jesus truly is the Lord of my life, and he's the Lord of my family's life. And I choose each and every day to live that out. And I may not be very good at it, but I'm getting better, because I choose to, and because he's with me and he walks with me. And I want each and every one of you to know that, because I lift it up to you as a testimony to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So praise God. Thank you.
Before I start, I just want to apologize to all the young kids. I remember being in here whenever I was younger, just thinking, just staring at that clock, just staring at it, and every time. So I do apologize. I saw some back there. Anyways, I just thought I would talk about the best day that I had this year, because not only are there tons of downs in life, but let me just tell you about the day, all right? So it was the Friday, the day before I came back, and I'm going to start my story on that Wednesday, and I had two classes. If you didn't know, I'm currently attending WVU for aerospace engineering. I had two classes that it came down to the final, like whether or not I was going to pass, and one of them was chemistry, and I did not know anything about chemistry, and it was terrible. But so on that Wednesday, I finally learned the times I'll be having the finals. And what I didn't realize was that Wednesday, both of the classes, I would be having the final on top of an additional final. So within the span of 12 hours, I would be in and out of finals, studying like crazy, and then going in and taking finals that would last 2 hours long on stuff I barely know. But that Friday was the best day of my life, because whenever I woke up, I prayed. I prayed for peace. And God told me that he gave me that peace, and he told me that, I forgot what he told me, darn it. He told me no matter what happens in life, everything will be all right. You know, if I don't pass chemistry, I can take it again. So I just went out that day and just had a smile on my face and took every test as hard as I could, studied as hard as I could, and I'm pleased to announce I passed chemistry and the other class. And so I'm very thankful for that, and I just thought I would come up here and share that with you guys. Again, sorry to the kids.
Thank you, buddy. I just love talking to Devin. What a personality and what a gift of God. As the praise team comes forward and as Christy comes forward, there's one other thing. I'm looking for my buddy Tom. Did he have to head out? Tom, come up here a second. I'm asking your forgiveness, okay? You remember I let you drive my Mustang, right? Yeah. I stand here so we can be sort of co-equal. The Holy Spirit has nudged someone to tell me that Tom heads to Ecuador this week, right? On a missions trip as part of his Messiah College experience. And this is one of the other, there are many great young men and women that didn't realize, I've been here 10 years. I've watched people that were like 6 years old become teenagers and 10 years old become young adults. And it's just one of the great gifts that God's given me. And this is one of the special young men that I've been privileged to know. And I just want us to join in a unison or a gathering of spirit of prayer for this, our brother. Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, before Tom was ever named by his mom or dad, he already had a perfect identity as your child, your son. Help each of us as we pray over Tom to know that we have that perfect identity as a daughter or son of the Most High King, the maker of the universe. And we just ask that in Jesus' name, that as Tom and his cohorts, his classmates, friends, chaperones from Messiah head to Ecuador for the month of January, that you would bless them, that you would keep them, that would you make your face to shine on them, be gracious unto them, help them to know that they are instruments of your peace. And Lord, in that setting of a different part of your world, teach them. And we ask especially that your power, your peace, and your encouragement would be with this, your child, that we have seen grow up and become a special young man here. We thank you for Tom, for the compassion of his heart, for the depth of his reflection, and for this commitment that he makes to go to Ecuador. Lord, be with his mom and dad and his big brother, Jack, as they're apart, and grant them all your peace and safe travels and mercies for him.